Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cried the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Hurling, Getty, Kerouac, and Morrison, you are on the right night. But please, check out our other After Midnight shows. Join Asiana and Babla Thursday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Then break on through with Pam on Friday. And join Dex and Pam on Saturday as they bring you Once Upon a Time. And every other Sunday, join Arcana and Stellina as they go delving into the darkness. These shows are designed to shoot in color outside the lines with rich, raw emotions tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thought through pen and voice. So, pull up a chair. Relax and open your mind. I'm Rex, my co-host Pam Ray, and I can't wait to get into and read your words. Evening, Pam.
Good evening, Rex. How goes it?
All right. What's doing?
Oh, you know, just looking forward to hanging out with you, some other cool poets maybe, and, you know, delving into some awesome poetry. Life is good. And I see we have Rozzy and Weaver on the board. So hello to both of them. And Yes. Awesome sauce. But yeah, we got a nice lineup of poetry, quality and quantity, because we have a mix from two different contests. Last week we had your contest, which was the mix and match. Yep, exactly, yeah. And then I ran a contest for with quotes from Samuel Foote. So I really didn't know what to call the topic board, so I just called it Kurek, Morrison, and Foote, which basically, like I said the other night, sounds like a law firm. But that's all right.
You could have run it up as, hey, we're placing one foot in front of the other.
Oh, that would have been some great wordplay. Yep. Or a foot behind, or, you know, I'm sure we could have thought of many, many more. So.
We're footing the bill with Kerouac and Morrison.
I like that one best. So far, I like that one. Yep. Putting the bill with Kurek and Morrison. And, yeah, that one I like for sure. But, yeah, so I don't think we'll get through all the Samuel Foote rights because we have 10 carryovers. And, of course, you know, we like to give top, well, I don't know about quality comments. But we definitely like to dig into the poetry. So, you know, we'll have some carryovers for another show, most likely. If not, well, maybe not, but we'll see. Anyways, life is good and a little humid for my taste, but that's all right. All right. Well, what do you say? Shall we get this ball rolling?
Yep.
All right. And I did wonder, I have to say, I didn't question Kay too much since Kay is a nickname. But, you know, yeah, I did wonder. yep. And there we go. So up first, we have Seaweed by Time Teller. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read.
Seaweed by Time Teller. Like seaweed, gelatinous fluid stacks on a tide, a crest of urges, surges that rush upon a shore. We strangled each other in limbs and outstretched neediness that filled the pontumous void of silence. Somewhere on the prairie, in the grasses, we howled a pact, true love from the womb of true lust. Mad, mad, madness, ranting, panting, with lacked out tongues of hearts. We traveled, found the saltiness of coastal breeze settled like family, falling sleepy, wrapped in silent starlights and supernova warmth. That's where we fell into sin, in all its sincerity of madness that others call love. And poem. All right. What do you think?
Oh, well, first of all, I really liked that read, especially when you vehemently and passionately shouted mad, mad, madness, ranting, panting with lapped out tongues. Very cool there. I'm always impressed with Time Teller's writing. He has a unique style that's both a great mixture of straightforward and metaphorical. The main message that I got from this, and I thought it had amazing imagery and metaphors and was a powerful write, was the madness of unexpected love. How, you know, like it says in that one line about, where is that? We howled a pact, true love from the womb of true lust, you know, and then that's where we fell into sin and all its sincerity of madness that others call love. You know, I feel like this is the idea of two people who start out with the idea that the thought that they're only going to have a sexual relationship, and it ends up going further, and that's where things unexpectedly almost kind of fall apart. I really like his phrasing in this. We traveled, found the saltiness of coastal breeze settled like family, falling sleepy, wrapped in silent starlight and supernova warmth. And that's interesting because you almost like when it says we traveled like settled like family, you think of the idea of marriage and, you know, how the passion and the relationship kind of just falls away to the wayside, and the madness becomes the mundane. But anyways, that's some of the thoughts I get out of it. I like the one word title, Seaweed. I don't know a whole lot about seaweed other than the fact that it's extremely slimy and supposed to be of high nutritional value. But I do like that. So really, really thoughtful write and very well done.
All right. Well, you can get seaweed ice cream.
I've tried seaweed chips before, and those are nasty. Ew, ew.
Well, the funny thing is, seaweed is used for ice cream. They still use for ice cream. It's an algae-derived agar or carrageenan to keep that cone from melting too fast. But, nicely touched there. Yes. Okay. Usually red seaweed. Anyway, I like that opening stanza. It hits on the idea of what the last two lines hit on, that crest all at once, the thought of seaweed, gelatinous fluid stacks. It is a nice note, the urge and the surge rolling in that motion, and then that thought of what was it? We strangled each other in limbs and outstretched neediness that filled the quantumless void of silence. They might think there would be silence, but there's a lot of other things going on there. And I do like that. And then he opens up somewhere on the prairie in the grass. And we howl the pact. True love from the womb of true love. And then the mad, mad, madness. Ranting, panting with laughed out tongues. That rolls on the note of two dogs in the moment, so to speak. So there's a little nice rearrangement of fluidity with the thought of the wantonness and the passion displayed. And then finally, falling sleepy, wrapped in silent starlight and supernova warmth, the obliteration in the moment, that burst, and then everything falls into that last line. There we fell into sin, in all its sincerity of madness that others call love. They understand in the moment what it is. It's just, as you put it, the neediness out, stretched neediness. Nicely done, Fiantella. Thank you.
Very cool. I like that. Great observation. Oh, and I would like to welcome Kate to the show. Welcome, Kate. Glad you could join us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, matey. How's it going?
All right.
Not for long.
Oh, did you bring a scotch?
Yes, of course, yes.
A single malt? No
water. Malt, yes, but no water, you're not allowed.
It's got to be a single malt.
Yeah.
Got to be a single malt for the best of the best when it comes to a singularity from a single point in Scottish drinking.
And it warms the cockles of the heart, seemingly.
Well, hell, it'll warm the bloody toes, too.
For sure.
Hello, Silence. Nice to see you.
Hello, Silence, my friend.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I won't sing.
Very cool.
Then I have to bring out the sounds of slurping.
No.
Those are the sounds of slurping.
Oh, don't. You'll wake me up.
Well, I wrote it about zombies going out for their first feeding.
Oh, that's very apt. I like that.
Yeah. Rancid biological entrails. So.
Cool. Hello, Pam.
Hello, my dear.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going wonderfully, thank you. So it's great to be here. I will stay as long as I'm able, but my voice is kind of... Thank you.
All right, so what do you want to do now?
All right, well, let's see here. What do we have next? Well, up next we have prompt. Is that the title of the poem? Let me check here. Yes, the title of the poem is Prompt 3. Well, that tells us what prompt he wrote to. By Bookworm Dave 227. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I would be happy to. Prompt 3 by Bookworm Dave 227. Music that develops my frame, listening to Jim's poetry, caustic sometimes, jarring other times, always thought-provoking. Even the dreamy poems take me away on his crystal ship, seeing strange days while listening to Texas radio and the big beat. Hoping people are strange who understand, waiting for the sun as the Spanish caravan marches on, just hoping to hear him one more time. Now just happy to know strange days are ahead on this moonlit drive, knowing the odds 5-1. The end, but the new beginning awaits me. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. That was... Prompt 3 was, there you are. Prompt 3 was, the only truth is music, soft, driven, slow and mad like some new language.
Yes, that was the most popular taken prompt of that contest. A lot of people really connected with that. Now, I thought this was wonderful. I always enjoy... A good song title poem where they weave the song titles throughout. And, he did that creatively and in such a way that nothing seemed forced. It flowed nicely. I like that it paid tribute to what I call the emotional genius of Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison was a genius all around intellectually, but he was, also an emotional genius. He knew, I think, how to strike the right chords of a person's soul to really get them to feel the depth of emotion that he meant for his lyrics and poetry to feel. And I really like this all the way through, but I do have to say, I think it's... where in the second sentence is my favorite, especially when he brings up listening to Texas radio and the big beat, because I feel like that one is not mentioned as much as the other ones. And so the fact that he brings that in makes me think that he's definitely a true Jim Morrison fan. But I did like all the other nods that he has in here, like Special Ship and Strange Days, and even the end was great. So, you know, excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Kate, you got to read it. What about you?
Your accent's getting better every week. Oh, I thought this was, I mean, I don't know much about the songwriter, the writer or the singer, I'm afraid. I'm sure I do, but it's way back in my memory somewhere. But I can see the influences through this piece of poetry. And it is lovely, as you say, to say, oh, yes, I recognize that, or that's a lyric from this song. So very well done, I thought. And I like the end, as in the end, but the new beginning awaits me. I like that. That's very a positive vibe, which I like very much. But I can see that he really enjoyed his music. You can tell it comes through so much music that develops my frame. I like that too. Very cleverly written, Bookworm Dave. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that very first stanza, listening to Jim's poetry, caustic sometimes, that gives me the thought of is referring to this piece that came out, Lament for the Death of My Cock. And jarring at other times kind of hits me with that sort of death makes angels of us all and gives us wings where we had shoulders smooth as raven's claws. So nice intro there, walking up those ideas. Always thought-provoking, yes. And the dreamy angle hits on those critical shit and Strange Days, Texas Radio and the Big Beat. Great song there. And then again, People Are Strange, Waiting for the Sun, Spanish Caravan. Now, you've loaded up here in Strange Days. And finishing out with that Moonlight Drive. He wrote that in the summer before he was in school for at USC for film. He was studying film. And he was supposed to go traveling, I think, to the East Coast that year on school break, but he decided to stay in California, and he spent the summer on the top of one of his friend's roof getting himself a great tan and writing songs. And when he got back down to the beach, I think it was Ray Manzarek at the time, he met him on the beach because they was also going to the same school. And he said, they asked Jim, what have you been doing? I've been living on top of a friend's roof, enjoying the sun and writing songs. He said, what do you got? And Moonlight Drive was the first song. Well, it started out as a poem, but ended up as a song that he wrote. And Ray had him sing it. He said, we got to make a band. And that's where it all started. And the end was an ever-evolving piece that mesmerized people back in the day, especially that was the song that got them booted from their gig at the Whiskey a Go-Go back in early 67, late 66. But I do like the back end of that. The new beginning awaits me. That is what is next. I am ready to take that step. Thank you, Dave. All right, Dan.
All right. Well, before we continue on, I would like to welcome a new caller to the show, Rusty Halverson. Welcome, Rusty. Glad you could join us.
Thanks for having me. I'm having fun. You guys are great.
How you doing, Rusty?
Oh, wonderful.
Just enjoying a beer and some good poetry.
Ooh, nice. What kind of beer
are
you enjoying? Oh, we're from all over.
Are you all in California? Are you in California?
No. Rex is in South Carolina. I'm in Wisconsin, and Kate is from Scotland. So yeah,
wow.
All over. Yep,
it sure is.
And So well,
and,
now Rusty, I know you wrote
on the board in New Zealand.
Wow,
that's right. Yep. So New Zealand, Finland, we have people that listen from all over the place. I know, Rusty, you said you have some time to hang out, so we don't have to get to your poem right away. But we do have a few carryovers from last week's show that we're going through, so the topic will be different. These are actually the rites we're going through right now are from a contest that Rex ran last week, where he had a quote for each prompt was a quote from Jim Morrison and a quote from Kerouac mixed together. It was really an awesome contest, and we got some great responses. We do post the links in Late Night Poets, but I know you're not a member of that group, so what I'm going to do is I will go ahead and send you on All Poetry through private message the links to the poems so that you can read along.
Terrific.
All right. Well, Rex, we ready to go on to the next one?
Let's kick it in the gear.
All right. Well, up next we have Seeing Before I See by Orange Sage. And I'll go ahead and give that one a read. My head is full of sky, which I regularly climb to read my mind. Strange voices whisper strange things, unstrange in my eyes. The sky falls out of me, all around me, into me. Rooms full of stars torture my delicate pupils, and the sun comes back constantly. My witnesses are my senses. They know the indistinct verse of clouds, the psychedelic muse of rainbows. My head is high on sky, my pupils rage when I see magnificent petals tumbling from the ears of the chatting moon. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Orange took prompt one. My witness is the empty sky, strange eyes fill strange rooms. And Kate, why don't we start with you, Kate?
Okay. Yeah, this is wonderful. The empty sky. My head is full of sky, which I regularly climb to read my mind. So, yes, I think this is absolutely brilliant. I love the strange voices whisper strange things, unstrange in my eyes. Very well done. It's taken the prompt so much and used it so well. But I particularly like the sky falls out of me, all around me, into me. So there's a person who is completely connected and enjoying the connections, where some other people might think it's too much and run away. All her senses are in this indistinct verses of clouds. That beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Imagery is great. So thank you, Orange Sage, for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Kate. And Rusty, how about you? What do you think?
I don't know what to think. It was wonderful. It was very, very wide. it did have every sense going, and I haven't put it all together yet because I'm not sure of the prompt either, but beautiful wordage.
Excellent. Thank you, Rusty. Pam, you got Tarina. How about you?
Yeah, I like this one, and it's interesting because, you know, the first time I read it, I saw it as a surreal rite with wonderful imagery and metaphors that really delved into the magic within the mind. But then this time reading it, it came to my mind that the idea that this is a poem about having migraine headache. Room full of stars torture my delicate pupil, and the sun comes back constantly. Makes me think of the idea that, you know, how when you have a migraine headache, it's not just the headache itself. It's the sensitivity to light. So I do think there is a layeredness to this. I do think it could be, especially with the title Seeing Before I See, about being open-minded to visualizing things in ways different than normal. Perhaps a mind that works differently, or perhaps, with the mention of psychedelic muses of rainbows, perhaps the idea of those psychedelic drugs. But there is a part of it that made me, as I was reading, think the thought of having a migraine headache and sensitivity to light. So, but creative, wonderful write, and very well done.
All right, thank you. This kind of looked like it should be a Dali painting. My head is full of sky, which I regularly climb to read my mind. A great note there to looking deeper within the naturalness of opening your mind to what's possible. And then the thought of strange voices, strange whispers, things unstrange in my eyes. Again, that note to surreality that walks a different path, willing to look at, view, and decide upon what it means. And the thought of the sky falls out of me, all around me, into me, and it hits on that universal note of almost like a transcendental meditation thought, being able to walk within all manner of life on a molecular level. And the thought of the delicate pupils when the sun comes back constantly, and it's the idea of seeing new things for the first time, and the psychedelic muses of rainbows is that witnessing of new colors, new lights, new visions. And that thought with my pupils rage when I see magnificent petals tumbling from the ears of the chattering moon, I walks into a new level of thought, the idea of all that comes forth in the moment, and you're trying to voice that experience, and you're not quite quick enough to actually put it down on paper in the moment. I like that. Nicely done, Alex. Thank you.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I was reading somewhere that there's only the spectrums of colors that are actually out there. Only a small percentage does the human mind and eyes actually perceive.
Yes.
So that's intriguing.
Yeah.
So up next I have Life of Illusion by Mindful. And Rusty, I did message that poem link to you on All Poetry. So when you see it, if you don't mind, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. I'm looking at the last one we did, just found the one we just read.
You'll probably have to refresh your page, but you should see it.
Okay, I see it now. It's Life of Illusion?
Yeah.
Okay. Shall I read it?
Yes, please.
Life of Illusion, people far below, still chasing some cheap dream. How I wish they all could know that nothing's as it seems. Let them ride the fantasy like lovers in the night. They hug the phone and finger keys. It's all part of the fight. I know inside they're full of pain. I did it 40 years. The good life somehow never came. Instead, I ran on fear. There's a trail to tranquility on the other side. When life showed me futility, I broke through and died.
Great read there, Rusty. Thank you very much. Wonderful. And Mindful took prompt 4. The air was soft, the stars so fine, the promise of every cobbled alley so great that I thought I was in a dream. Tried to run, tried to hide, break on through to the other side. All right, Pam, why don't you kick it in?
Yes, yeah, I do have to agree. Rusty does have a wonderful reading voice. Maybe we can reel him back in for more poetry reading after tonight if we don't scare him away.
I was listening to that.
Oh, you're more than welcome to come back anytime you like.
Thank you.
And,
that's a wonderful piece.
It is. I love the rhyme and flow in it. The meter is, to me, spot on. I thought it had strong and thoughtful lines on that feeling of despair as one realizes that life seems without purpose, but especially how it seems like, I think it also speaks on the idea of seeing a truth that nobody else sees, and that sense of not only despair, but frustration. I really like, let them ride the fantasy like lovers in the night. They hug the phone and finger keys. It's all part of the fight. I know inside they're full of pain. I did it 40 years. The good life somehow never came. Instead, I ran on fear. Wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Kate, how about you?
This is a lovely piece of poetry. I can see the angst. I can feel the pain of being let down. He sees people. He knows that no matter what you try to do, no matter how much you want fame, fortune, likes, people following you, whatever, bottom line is life is difficult. And I'm afraid life won't really get much better. The good life somehow never came. Instead, I ran on fear. And that, you know, that is just, it just gives you an idea of what life has become now, that everybody is rushing to get something, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter, as long as they can say, well, I have this and you don't have this. So it's quite sad. And there we have that last stanza, the doozy. There's a trail to tranquility on the other side. When life showed me futility, I broke through and died. Yeah, I like this a lot. Very sad, but sad but true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good interpretation.
And Rusty, you did a great job reading this. Why don't you give us a thought or two of what you got out of it?
Well, I really like what she was just saying about it, and it sort of made me think about the fact that, in a sense, he's saying that we're all, it's an illusion, we're in a layer. He broke through and died. We spend our lives fighting for something, some vision that we want to create or make real or test. And ultimately, it really doesn't matter because we're going to be moving on to the next and the next and the next. And but at the same time, that's the purpose, I think, in life. And so it's a beautiful, bittersweet pain because it's necessary to go through that in order to come out the other side.
Excellent.
It's cheap dream, baby.
I like that. Great comments, you three. Yes, there's a nice quiet thought within this, offering up that note of illusion, that thought with the second stanza. They hug the phone and finger keys. It's all part of the fight. The idea of thinking this little magic box everybody totes around is going to give you all and everything that you want. It doesn't work that way. You got to, if you really want something, you have to work hard for it, and you have to pour blood, sweat, and tears into it because that's what things take. And the back end note of this, I know inside they're full of pain. I did it 40 years. The good life somehow never came. Instead, I ran on fear. The idea of fear of getting fired, the fear of not having that job to pay for the house, to keep the family together, fed and all that stuff that goes with, that's part of the angle of it. And, you know, it kind of hits on that note of you don't really know anything until you truly lost everything. And in that moment when you've lost everything, you find out who your friends are, you find out those who will stand by you, and you find out what life is really worth. Because
amen to that.
The idea of losing everything is that notion. All of a sudden, all of those things that you thought were important have no real value. They're just things.
And that sounds like a perfect segue to the poem that I wrote on, which is the foot that you lose the house, you lose everything, and then that's how you learn.
Absolutely. All right, Pam, where are we going next?
All right. Well, up next we have Nevermind by Jim Bellamy. And Rex, go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
All right, Jim. Nevermind by Jim Bellamy. Everybody turn the light down, please. Every single baby, turn the light down. Tom Baker is a triptych wasp. Jameson means Osnaburg. If these words seem stupid, accept your sex is strangled if your parents lisp. Please lie with the devil's empty children. Everybody turn the light down. Everybody, please turn the light down. Wet sex is dimmed. Fielding means Houston. Houston means H. Auden, means Phil Larkin. Om. Red Tatlin drank Pond Perignon. If your teachers are stupid, please lie to your children. If great preachers seem rancid, then go cry after crazy cats and evil chickens. There are films to moan films, to groan films, to snare cartoons, to shrink from. Mind is too long. Mind is too long. Mind is just too goddamn long. If you hear from your parents, please lie with your children. Stockholm means Tom Baker. Jameson means Osnaburg. Everybody turn the light down. Please, everybody turn the light down. Everybody, please, turn the light down. There are films to groan, films to moan. Hamlet was Hamlet. Shakespeare thrilled his children. Ophelia was a buzzing wasp. Everybody turn the light down. Please, everybody turn the light down. Everybody, please, turn the light down. Flesh is eaten, and flesh is our children. Bread cabins burn, and brandies are soured by the tears in love's eyes. Boards must break, the penis of the hollow moon. If you make no sense, please accept that you have tried to poeticize the fields of rhyme. Everybody turn the light down. Please, everybody turn the light down. Everybody turn the light down. There are Rolex drinks and milks to drink from, candles to burn, Bibles to kill. Take the highway west, take the highway west, to the fields, to the fields, to the Ilu fields. Everybody turn the light down. Please, everybody turn the light down. Tom Baker meets Norway. This perfect place is shrunken. This perfect place is shrunken. I frequently use the candle. Stockholm means bastard children. Live for the Zeno scissors and knives. Die in Germany. The Easter foods for Christmas rot. Ideas will shadow wrought iron. If your teachers were stupid, accept your words are polos. Do not devour the lotus flower. Everybody turn the light down. Please, everybody turn the light down. Dylan Marley's Thomas was the Elohim. James Joyce lived in an expensive tower. Everybody, please turn the light down. The zero deed, the shuffle need, the eunuch seed spurts from shaved shoe leather. Everybody turn the light down. Please, everybody turn the light down. Everybody, please switch the light off. Here and now. And Paul.
Bravo.
Thank you for that. All right, Pam, you're going to kick this one off. Give Kate and Rusty a minute to think.
Of course you would pick on me. Jeez. All right. Well, you know, as always there, Rex, you know, I love your voice and Jim Bellamy's poetry mixed together. It's just such a nice combination. He is always intriguing to me, especially how he delves into what I guess I would call sexual metaphors. And the main thought that I got from this, and his writes are always thought-provoking to me. And the nice thing is because they're so surreal and psychedelic, I feel like they're oftentimes very open to interpretation. But I felt like this touched on the whole idea of the lies of society to control the next generation, you know, and that especially comes through to me in the mention of Shakespeare thrills his children, Ophelia was a buzzing wasp, and then the other mention of children, if you hear from your parents, please lie with your children. And then the mention of the, what is that syndrome that people get when they're kidnapped? I know he mentioned it here somewhere. Yes, thank you. Stockholm means Tom Baker. Jameson means Osnaburg. Everybody turn the light down. Everybody turn the light down. And the repetition, you know, I don't always like repetition in poetry. I don't like it when it doesn't serve a purpose. But here, I feel like it serves a purpose. And to me, that purpose is to show that the lights meet the idea of people who want the lights turned down, who don't want the next generation to see any truth. It also makes me think of the whole idea of book banning because, hiding things away. Of course, you know, as we've talked about before, there are certain things I do believe children should not have to read, especially particularly young children. They're not ready for that yet, but it also just, but I'm not talking children. What I'm talking about is the idea of just wanting people not to see a light, wanting people not to see a truth, and keeping that away from them in order to control them. At least that's what I get out of it. But as always, just intriguing, right, by Jim Bellamy, and a wonderful read by you, Rex.
Thank you, Pam. Rusty, how about you? What do you think?
I was, again, so mesmerized by the language, by the, just the sound of the words and their pairings that I didn't even, my mind didn't even get into to the meat of it. I was jealous that you got to read it. That it sounded almost like that Southern writer, what's his name? Not Truman Capote, but the other guy down there. And at any rate, like the devouring the, or is it devour the flower, the lotus flower? Don't devour the lotus flower, whatever. When you said that with your South Carolina touch, it really vibrated. It's a terrific piece. The guy's brilliant.
Excellent. Thank you, Rusty. All right, Kate, how about you?
Yes, how about me and Didi? This was, this is brilliantly done. I do, and I love your take on this, Pam. Turn the light down to avoid anyone seeing the truth ahead of them. Keep everything dim. Don't let anybody have one foot ahead of anybody else. We are in control. I like that so much because I really feel that's the case. I feel that we get fed little bits of drama, silly little bits of drama, nothing heavy, everything light, so that nobody gets panicky, nobody thinks too far ahead, nobody asks questions. So basically we're fielding them with sex, we're getting rid of them with half-truths, and people just, we are like sheep. We just sit and take it and go, yeah, well, it's the government or it's the president, or so we have to believe what they're saying. So, yeah, I think this is brilliantly done. I did enjoy it. I didn't get all of the references, I'm afraid. I'm ashamed to say, but if I read again and check, I probably get a lot more from it than I have already. But it was lyrical and it was beautiful. And I loved it. Like Pam said, I did love the lines being repeated, because as you say, sometimes it can split the poem and make it kind of staccato, but this doesn't, this just flows. So maybe that was your reading, but you did it very well, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Kate. And you're right, I like that note to we are in control. It reminds me of a TV series from the 60s called The Outer Limits. They showed me they shrunk the TV screen to a little dots, or they expanded the image to crisp clarity, blurred it, that we are in control. Just sit back for the next hour and enjoy what's going on. That was the angle you hit on with that. I like that. And the idea in this, yes, you did the control angle, yes, but also that thought with the everybody turn the light down, everybody please turn the light down, is a note to not just hiding, but it's also offering up that note of being ostriches, putting your head in the sand because you don't want to see, you don't want to hear, you don't want to think that it might be, but it is. You're just ignoring that fact, which is a telltale sign of a society that's rotting in on itself. And he hits on, yeah, this one was a great line. There are films to moan, films to groan, films to snare, cartoons to shrink from. That tells a lot because of the imagery that's being put across on the movie screens, the television, and for the kids in the cartoons. They're overloading kids with stuff they need not know. Normally, whatever happened to the day of watching Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck? Now the cartoons are walking a thinly veiled line to the other side and indoctrinating kids before they even get to school. So the idea is we're keeping ourselves, hiding from ourselves the truth of what is by keeping our heads in the sand, so to speak. And there was, what else? There was something else in here. Shakespeare thrilled his children. Ophelia was a buzzing wasp. I like that thought. The idea of actually a note, the idea with Shakespeare thrilled his children was putting something out on stage in a not such an unveiled thought. You knew what was going on. It was a splash against the current idiocracy of the day and how people get put down and trampled on. But he did it in such a way that it was kind of a music for the ears. You got to see something on a different level, but it offered up a note of amusement rather than the trundling of what we got tonight. And that thought with the boards must break, beds be night, the penis of the hollow moon. If you make no sense, please accept that you have tried to poeticize the fields of rhyme. Then again, everybody turn down the light. Please, everybody turn down the light. Everybody turn down the light. And the Rolex drinks and milks to drink from. There's a note of candles to burn, Bibles to kill. Take the highway west. Take the highway west to the fields, to the alley fields. Always that note of moving a bit forward to find that next field of delightment without actually coming across anything. And the idea on the back end of this, everybody please switch the light off, kind of hits that note of demise for humanity here and now. Or if you want to hit the back end of reality, you know what? Turn the light off. Let's get rid of these rat bastards. And let's save the kitties.
The children are born with the old souls. It's coming back around again.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen an awakening, which is kind of unusual considering what we've been getting the last few years and still get, God. There are some platforms out there that are a mess.
I studied acting, and I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, and also New Hampshire, and I hear both of those places in your voice.
Well, I spent a
you
number
have
of
New
years
England
in New York.
There?
Yeah, I spent a lot of years
yes,
in New
sir.
York.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of years in Florida, and the last 12 here in South Carolina. I'm a mess.
There you go.
Plus, I was born a Brit, so I'm really a mess.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Got that wonderful mixed accent.
It's all in the voice, don't you know?
And sometimes he just makes the accents up.
That's right, me.
All right, Pam, where shall we go next?
All right. Well, up next we have Tearful Tornado by Sakura Falls. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I would be delighted to. Thank you. Tearful Tornado. Whirling around in my mind of conflictions, I'm settling for less due to my addictions. It hurts to tell you that I'm like Willow Sadness. it pains me to say that I'm glad for my badness. But maybe that's just the way I've always been. Traumatic experiences hard-hitting, like summer rainfall. I'm in this tearful tornado of whirlwinds, while cheerful, because I wish to be upon your candle-lit table scene. I'd lay real steady so everybody, every person start to notice me, with my ankles behind my back being playful. You may look at my soles while I sway them back and forth. I'll lay real steady until the candles burn out. That's why I wish to tell you that I'm always free, with my heels dragging behind me, wishing to be a true lady that doesn't always see her worth. Maybe that's why I'm sad. Maybe that's why my family gave me birth. End poem.
Great read, Kay. Thank you very much. And Rusty, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
I have to read back through it again. I was, again, mesmerized by the sound of the voice and the words. I'll have to pass it for later.
I'll come back. Pam, on to you.
All right. Well, I like the phrase tearful tornado. It's wonderful alliteration and a great two-word title. Kate, you did a wonderful read of that. You know, a lot of this makes me think of the reactions, and obviously part of this thought comes from the fact that she has the line, traumatic experiences hard-hitting like summer rainfall, is how when somebody goes through something traumatic, there's oftentimes ways that they end up responding to it later in life. Like, you know, people who have gone through severe abuse, physical, emotional, sexual, oftentimes become addicted. You oftentimes find people who are raped or sexually abused, especially in childhood, either go to one of two extremes. Sexually, they're very either frigid or they actually become very hypersexual. And I see that in the lines, I believe, real steady so every person starts to notice me with my ankles behind my back being playful. While that could be something innocent, I kind of get the idea of someone who feels like the only way that they can get attention is by sexually exposing themselves. There's such a sense of angst and sadness and anger within this. And the ending with a true lady that doesn't always see her worth, maybe that's why I'm sad. Maybe that's why my family gave me birth. It's almost that question of why. You know, like they're trying to figure out why was I born? You know, was I born only to feel this kind of anger and loneliness and to be used this way? You know, and it really shows to me somebody who wants to know their own true worth. But really, at this point, they're so emotionally lost within the trauma that their only response is to lash out with the addiction, the angry behavior, and the dangerous sexual behavior. At least that's what I get from it. So, but a wonderful write by Shakira Falls. It's really been great because she's fairly new to us. It's really been great to see her poetry supporting our shows. So very cool and very well done.
I just saw that. This might help. She took prompt 7. We agreed to love each other madly, riders on the storm. That might give a little inkling into what's going in there. Kate, what about you since you read it?
Oh, yes, this is another one of those deep, deep pieces of poetry that means such a lot to the poet themselves that it spills out onto the screen. It really, I mean, I totally relate to this. And Pam, you're perfectly correct in your thoughts about the way that kind of abuse can affect someone. It can go one of two ways. And you count your worth by, I suppose you count your worth by how many people you can entice into your world and you sort of use and abuse and go on. And that's a typical reaction. It really is. I don't know why I'm laughing, but I love that, the two lines in the second stanza. I lay real steady so every person start to notice me with my ankles behind my back being playful. Oh, man. I mean, that just tells you it all, doesn't it? Here is somebody who is fighting against what life has done to them and still retains that little bit of humor to sort of lighten the pain. Yeah. As they say, well, as I say, if you make them laugh, it stops them hitting you. And that is, you know, that's very true here as well. So brilliantly done, and I'm so thankful that I got to read this. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Randy, did you have time to go over it again and offer something?
I'm going to pass on it. It's beautiful,
okay, but no problem.
I can't relate.
That's cool. The end of that first stanza, traumatic experience is hardening like summer rainfall. I'm in this tearful tornado of wild winds while cheerful. She's putting on a brave face right there. So, and this thought, because of the quote she took over the poem, there's something in here. Maybe it's about family to begin with. There's something in here. She doesn't feel loved or connected in some way. The idea of Kate read those lines. I lay really steady so every person starts to notice me. There's a need looking for that love and attention of connection with my ankles behind my back being playful. I mean, you see kids, they put their ankles behind their back and then they grab them and they do the rocking, which would kind of be like offering themselves like a seesaw in the moment. That's a cry for being noticed for something other than maybe because she's got conflictions up top and I'm settling for less due to my addictions. So this has been going on for a while, and it might also involve friends. Until the candles burn out, that kind of hits on me, until people are tired. And my heels dragging behind me, wishing to be a true lady that doesn't always see her work. Well, that goes right back to the conflictions up top and the idea of not getting what she wants out of family and friends, so she has a distorted view of herself. And that, maybe that's why I'm sad. Maybe that's why my family gave me birth, the idea of that. See, that last line hits on that idea of family. So there's something going on in the family itself which has her conflicted, emotional, and traumatized. Well,
definitely.
Express that, Victor. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. What you got?
All
there?
Right. Well, up next we have In the Back of My Mind, Just Falling in Love by Ben Hart. I am without witness. Even death averts her eyes when I stand there in bags packed, waiting for the right time to lay down in the thick of it and never look back. And it's no use to dry your tears just because you cannot stand the itch, pain's most loving lingering, because like all things, you will miss it when it's no longer here in a future dim, where beauty is only seen through scratched lenses and you've spent a lifetime dreaming when you should have been erecting defenses. Where do you go as your eyes glaze over, because all I see is a bleak retelling of God's worst memory, only slower, his fall into the hollow when not even the love language of clouds could keep the devil from falling down. But they never tell the story of how they found their footing, their way back to love when they felt a quiet morning grow, the further they followed the music home. And though she leaves the cobblestones and the rivers raging between them, only for a moment she takes flight. And as though in a dream, the air is light, blowing through cloth canopies, and the rain fails to chill the skin. And though the hour is late, the day resists the withering. And it's somewhere in the back of my mind, She'll always be dancing without care, and I'd always be lying if I ever admit I'd rather be there, running away in place like starlight. Mr. Powers dives for pearls and tries his best not to let it drive him insane, that he risks it all just to feel all right. Yet after every empty-handed, he watches Rocket Man get to her first, the last pearl of the night. The silence in the eyes of the bartender when you tell him you're in need of mending again. And what could have been love, I gave up because I couldn't let you out. Should you ever have looked the storm in the eye, I couldn't be your unmooring. I couldn't let you down. Should you ever have tried to revive what I gladly let die for the sake of the story, please let go of me to decay into slugs, toads, and snakes. Let me out of the weight. I don't want to participate in your mental real estate. I want to bleed, set every drop of me free like dandelion I have blossomed. Now let it go, my seeds of dreaming, and let the rest of me go rotten. It's your dream, not mine. Then I wouldn't mind it to be forgotten. And it only matters who I am when the mist clears and the moniker becomes just a made-up name for another disappointing man who did it for the frame, so desperate for them to tell him he is beautiful, something he won't feel anyway. She's letting them fall, limbs of the rose whispering Kenobi, not Maul, how I have loved the man that I chose. So say hello to God on my behalf. I want him to know I am coming for him because he took you from me, and so heaven shall know my wrath. Forever your paramour, Death End Poem.
Great read, Pam. I'm surprised you didn't stick me with this one. That's a nice long piece.
It is, and I thought about it, but you had already done Jim Bellamy, and Kate had done the other one, so I figured it was my turn.
Speaking of Kate, why don't you lead us off on this? What do you think?
By the way,
he took all 10 prompts from the Kerouac-Morrison mashup.
Yeah, I saw that in the AN. Beautifully done. And I have to say I completely concur with his ideas about love. I think love is a dangerous thing. It catches every one of us. We are a victim to our own minds and pheromones and all those things that happen when you fall in love. So, yes, even death averts our eyes when I stand there with bags packed, waiting for the right time to lay down in the thick of it and never look back. Beautifully written. It was so much pathos and so much pain. Don't do it. Don't fall in love. Just be friends and shake hands. That's what I like. Oh, dear. But, yes, I think this is wonderful. It's so clever. And the picture, I mean, that picture is so cute. Oh, my goodness. Very talented fellow, our Ben. I really love his work. I don't always understand all of it, but I appreciate all of it. So thank you, Ben.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. And Rusty, how about you?
I'm new to this. I'll have to pass again. I'm sorry. I love it. I love it.
No problem. You'll get used to it. Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Rusty, Ben's poetry, because of the depth and also length of it, I mean, this is 555 words, can be a lot to take in and on one reading. I know it usually leaves my head spinning, this is a beautifully written vignette. I like what Kate, and it's quite a challenge to take up all 10 prompts. And if you think about the fact they took up 10 prompts and 555 words, that's not actually that many words per prompt. But I like how this does speak on love, but it also speaks on somebody's relationship with death. I almost think of the idea of someone who wishes, doesn't want to kill themselves by their own hand, but sometimes wishes that death would come along naturally to take them away. I do think of love. I also think of loss. And I think of self-identity and really trying to struggle with figuring out with who you are. Let's see here. I do like the part that said, this is your dream, not mine, because, yeah, and that, I can't remember, but it was within the dream part. I liked that, and because oftentimes people want to drag you along thinking that your goals and your ideals are the same as theirs, but they're not. I like also the silence in the eyes of the bartender when you tell him you're in need of mending again. I like that nod to how oftentimes the bartenders are the therapists of the world. You know, you go there for a drink, you tell them your problems, and it's that idea of getting lost in that moment of sharing that pain with somebody who's familiar and yet at the same time a stranger. You know, the nod towards, you know, kind of separating oneself from a godlike power and yet at the same time wanting some sort of relationship, pushing it away. Please let go of me to decay into slugs, toads, and snakes. Let me out of the wait. I don't want to participate. That's somebody who... I feel like that's actually the voice of somebody who has already died and is telling the grieving person, let me go. So there's definitely a lot of turmoil in the relationship with death within these lines. So just a brilliant write and very well done.
Well, I'm going to finish up what you just hit on that one. I don't want to participate in your mental real estate. I want to bleed. And every drop of me free, like dandelion, I have blossomed. Now let it go. My seeds are dreaming, and let the rest of me go rotten. It's your dream, not mine, Ben. I wouldn't mind it to be forgotten. That there is a note. Death walks in huge portions of each vignette, and it speaks to that which has been lost. It could be the love itself. It could speak to actual death and the fact that with that note and that eighth one called blood, and then walks into the mist and the grave. The back end of this hitting on that angle of forever your paramour, death. The paramour being your what you are in love with on the whole. Now that you've tasted it or think you've tasted it, and because he starts out in the first one, I am without witness. Even death averts her eyes. When I stand there with bags packed, waiting for the right time to lay down in the thick of it, I never look back. There is an offering, a note to death there, laying down in the thick of it and never looking back, the trade-off, so to speak. And I did like that short one about the bartender. It says a lot to the idea and need into unloading or just getting blocked out. So you can forget in the moment. And then even on Nirvana, the silence in the eyes of the bartender when you tell him you're in need of mending again. They hit so hard on being broken, whether it's from actual death or the death in love, or both actual death when it comes to that, because it does hit on the angle on the back end, your paramour. So you've gone from love straight into the angle of death and its environs, because each section hints at that note of death. So where is it? and it only matters who I am when the mist clears and the moniker becomes just a made-up name for another disappointing man who did it for the fame, so desperate for them to tell him he is beautiful, something he won't feel anyway. That hits on a note of disconnect. So, well done piece there, Ben, and a lot of unpacking to do, and at least a couple of reads to sift through each well-writ vignette. So thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, up next we have Black Hole by Weaver of Dreams. And Kate, you are nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud, so here we go.
If you've not met an emotional vampire yet in your life, consider yourself to be lucky indeed. 2 seconds with this moribund essence immersed in gray flat waves of numbing nothingness is akin to having all the joie de vivre sucked from your soul to be replaced by leaden dread. Had you entered the day with a song in your heart, by now all you'd hear is a dirge on repeat. On a scale of 1 to dull, our dweller in the grayness blends no sense of fun with no personality. Cunningly achieving a black hole by combining each Monday morning with every rainy Sunday. If you know of an e-vamp in your friendship group, or even worse, your family, take my advice. Run.
Great read, Kate. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Pam, lead us off.
Yes. Well, as you probably noticed, we have gotten now into Samuel Foote quote inspired rights. And Kate wrote to
you.
What's that?
You mean footnotes?
Yeah, I think I do. It's late at night. You know, by this time of the night, I need footnotes for everything. And great play on words there, by the way. Very cool. Oh, man. All right. But, yeah, so Kate wrote on, he is not only doll himself, he is the cause of dullness in others. First of all, I like that title, Black Hole, because that's basically what an energy vampire does. I also really like, Kate, that you've gone with a change of pace. A lot of times you provide us with wonderfully entertaining dark rites about blood-sucking vampires, and here you've taken a different approach. You've gone with a psychological darkness on those energy vampires, those people who just suck the energy out of you, who you spend time with them, and you just need to take like a 12-hour nap after hanging out with them. And of course, you got a nice bite at the end with, if you know an e-vamp, and I like how that's like the idea of like an e-cigarette and an e-vamp, you know, like the idea that they just suck it out of you. You know, if you have one of those friendship group or even worse, your family, take my advice, run. And yeah, I mean, I and I'm sure many other people have, you know, family members that I just don't even bother to associate with because they drain the energy out of you. Of course, I have family members I also love dearly, but, you know, another part, and I do enjoy your sense of humor. Along with the serious message, because this is a serious message delivered with a sense of humor, because you need to take care of yourself emotionally. And sometimes that means stepping away from people. But I really also like, on a scale of 1 to dull, our dweller in the grayness blends no sense of fun with no personality. And that's just no holding back with the punches there, Kate. Wonderful write on those emotional vampires that just drain everything from you. Very well done.
Thank you so much.
All right, Pam. And Rusty, how about you?
I enjoyed the hell out of it, although I hope I don't get trapped with that person. ever.
You probably already have been. You just didn't realize it when you're too tired.
I love the Sunday, the rainy Sunday, and then followed by Monday. That was great. That little section there.
Thank you, Rusty. All right, Kate. I got that second set was the one that hit me. 2 seconds spent with this moribund essence, immersed in gray flat waves of numbing nothingness, is akin to having all the joie de vivre sucked from your soul to replace by leaden dread. That idea of gray flat waves, you're hitting on the idea of a person's aura, how even in the moment you don't have to see the color to know how bad it is, and that it's not going to be a pleasant interaction, because they already come in with a chip on their shoulder, which is, hey, I'm the saddest, most morose being on the face of the planet, and you all have to know it, because I need what life goodness you've got in your soul to be taken into mind so I can do this again tomorrow. So that's the idea of that emotional vampire needing to suck out the essence of happiness in someone just so they can be just as morose and downtrodden the next day to continue their roaming plank of, hey, nobody's as worse off as I am. I've got it bad. I've got it so bad that the church stays away from me because they're crypt
keepers. I've lived places that have that kind of attitude. The whole town, the whole communities of that sort of behavior. They just, it's a culture. It's a cultural thing, you know?
Yeah,
it's like the way that kids would act when you have a teacher come in for a substitute teacher comes in and everybody just acts like an ass for the entire day, goes home with headaches, you know, from eating candy and getting nothing done. And it compounds itself.
You're absolutely right. And I do like, you've got quite a bit in here, cunningly achieving a black hole by combining each Monday morning with every rainy Sunday. That is taking it to the next level. Hey, nothing quite like a rainy Sunday. You're downtrodden. You feel like crap. And you're already walking in the darkness. I mean, you've got a rainy Sunday that you can't go out and do anything. So you open up the hole wide of yourself, and then you walk straight into Monday morning, bringing the whole bloody mess with you. And I do like the back end.
Here he comes again.
And it's really bad if you got somebody like that at work, because you can never get away from them.
Well, in Scotland, you go out, you look out your window, and it's all foggy and rainy for, what, 8 months? And same in New Hampshire. You know, in New Hampshire, it's the same way.
Yep, there it is. It doesn't bother me. Weather doesn't bother me. If you're a biker like I used to be, it just matters nothing. You just dress up for it. But yes, Scotland is grey. But we did have summer. We had 3 days of sunshine, and unfortunately, I fell asleep on my sunbed, and I've got half a leg tanned. So embarrassing. Half a leg.
That's like popping a piece of bread in the toaster and only one half comes out toasted because the other side's broken.
Yep, that was it. Oh my goodness, it was mad.
That's what gives birth to poetry is those foggy, you know, winters and long falls where we've got to really scare up our imagination and make things happen. And sparks fly without having them anywhere.
I agree. I've always said without pain, there would be no poetry. Oops.
Yeah, oh, actually, there wouldn't be any understanding of what's good in life either.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be kind of bloody dull.
Yep.
All right, Pam, what we got?
All right. Well, I do have a question for Rusty, because Rusty, I noticed you sent me a link to one of your other poems. And I only have time to allow you to read one of your poems. So did you want to read the one written for the contest, or did you want to share the other one that you had sent me the link to?
Oh, gosh. I guess I would rather read the one I just sent you. It's light and fun. And the other one, it was I'm still a little – my head's spinning from the depth of this program, and I'm going to have to do some research so that I can – be better next week.
Oh, no problem. And you know what? Hey, Rusty, I wanted to let you know that Late Night Poets has 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry. All our hosts and hostesses are just wonderful people. And so if you want to put in an application for Late Night Poets, I'll send you a link to the group so you can apply, because then, if you want to, you can see the links of the poems posted in the room and be part of the chat in the room as well as on the shows if you decide to call in.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never
heard anything
like this. It's wonderful.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
I inflict my poetry on. I do my poems for friends, and they're not really into poetry. And this is the first time that I've actually been communicating with people who like poetry.
You know what?
Believe it or not.
I get that. I really, honest to goodness, get that, because many of my family and friends, beyond all poetry, beyond Late Night Poets, don't not only get poetry, they don't understand my obsession with it. So, you know, I do understand it. And, you know, all poetry and especially to me, Late Night Poets is just a wonderful group to find, you know, like-minded individuals who love sharing poetry. So, Rex, we're going to steer a little off course because Rusty is new and we, you know, would like him to share something he wants to share. And so he is going to share with us Me Minus You Equals Zero. So, Rusty, whenever you're ready.
Me minus you equals zero. It's clear, and rightly so. If you're near, I start to glow. All is well when you smile. You can tell I'm watching all the while. Hey, wait a sec. You need to look at me. Can't you see I'm a wreck? Don't you consider my needs? I'd do anything for you. Don't you dare turn away. Don't you know how much I do just to be with you today? You're really something, girl. How can you be so cruel? The best catch in the world, and you take me for a fool. You broke my heart. I can't just walk away. My love is an art. I bought yours. Now you'll pay. I'm in my cell, hoping you'll write me back. I'm wishing you'll get well after my violent attack. Just know that I forgive the pain that you caused me. I really hope you'll live. We'll be together once I'm free.
Thank you very much. All right, Kate, I heard that giggle. Why don't you kick us off?
Oh, my. Oh, yes, I enjoyed this. Well done, Rusty. And I loved your read. I just love the emotion. It's so much fun to listen to. That picture, oh, my good golly, that's scary. Yeah. I like this so much. I did. I love the turning of the tables. I forgive you for making me nearly kill you. I love it. I love it. And then we'll be together when I'm free. Oh, my goodness. That's something to look forward to or not. Oh, it was excellent, excellent. And it made me smile, which is great. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Kate. Sam, how about you?
Oh, I like this. I have to say that either, I really hope it's because Rusty is such a good voice actor, because he pulled this voice off well. Oh, my goodness. You know, there's something about when somebody pulls off the voice of somebody who is going through a psychosis process that it makes you pause and think and sends chills up and down your spine, not spine, sorry. but I like that because I am a big fan of dark rights in the first person narrative, especially, yes, because I do believe it makes it scary to be told in the first person, especially when you're dealing with psychological darkness. And here, you really do a great job of bringing us into the mindset of someone who is obsessed with somebody who's stalking somebody. And I like that you put in your AN, obsession is not cute. It is a mental disorder. Stalking is oppressive. Communicate and listen to be sure the object of your desire is on the same page. It's really scary when they're not. And that is so true. And I do see definitely the humor in this, but I also see the dark side of it. And I like that you put that in your AN. This whole idea of obsession is definitely something that is scary. And the sad part is a lot of times when it comes to stalking, nothing can legally be done until they actually hurt or attempt to hurt the person. So I do think there has been some changes implemented, but I think not enough, I really like this all the way through, but especially I do anything for you. Don't you dare turn away. Don't you know how much I do just to be with you today? You're really something, girl. How can you be so cruel? The best catch in the world, and you take me. This isn't just somebody who's a stalker. This is somebody I believe you're speaking in the voice of somebody who has narcissistic personality disorder.
Yeah.
But wonderful, right? Wonderful, right?
Thank you.
I'm glad you shared it with us.
Thank you so much. Those insights really, if I could say, one thing that I really, really enjoy about writing is to be able to put on somebody else's clothes as an actor, as a writer, as a person. And, as even in religion, they say, you've got to empathize. You've got to understand where the other person's coming from. Well, it's scary and thrilling to put yourself right into that head trip and then try and really bring it across. It's a little scary too, as a writer, to put that together and then present it, and people think, ooh, that's him. Which it isn't, but it's very exciting.
It is.
Nice,
it is.
Like
Kate and myself and Rex have all been people who have written in some very scary voices, so we know what you mean.
Well, this had me thinking of a Sting song, Every Breath You Take, I'll Be Watching You, because you start out that way. I start to glow. There's that note of surreality. And then I'm watching all the while. You got this little sense of buildup. And then then rolling into, hey, wait a sec. You need to look at me. Can't you see I'm a wreck? Don't you consider my needs? All of a sudden, the table has turned slightly. That sort of someone who you look through, right through in the moment, because he's offering up that note. Why don't you, need to look at me. And then the thought, I'd do anything for you. Don't you dare turn away. Don't you know how much I do just to be with you today? Again, that note of stalking. And then going into the a slight turn again, you're really something, girl. It's kind of an up note. How can you be so cruel? The best catch in the world, and you take me for a fool. Offering himself up, there's that narcissistic angle right there. I'm the best catch in the world, and you take me for a fool. Ooh, that's not a nice motif to be walking through, but it works. And then that angle, even though she hasn't really done anything at this point in time except to turn away, not notice, you broke my heart. I just can't walk away. My love is an art. I bought yours. Now you'll pay. Now you've gotten into the object of his desire, somebody who makes somebody who paints, somebody who draws, one of those angles that you kind of latched onto because he is thinking on that angle. My love is an art. What I offer is something to be to be whole, so to speak. And then the last two stanzas, it was a nice twisted bit of funk. I am in my cell with a little bit of humor, kind of a saucy as well. And it holds a lot of irony in the fact that, hey, we'll be together once I'm free. I hope you're healed very well by then, because I'll be coming back in seconds.
And we do too, don't we? We forgive each other and we go back right at it again.
Yes. That was well played.
Well,
I like
what you said about love earlier, Ms. Scotland. I'm sorry I forgot your name, but I love what you said about how love was maybe, if not such a great thing, friendship would be better. Because, boy, we sure do. I mean, who do we get the most angry with and hurtful with? Not the people that are the worst, but the people that we love the most.
Mm-hmm. I've always said it. I'll say it again. Love is dangerous. It brings out so many emotions and sometimes scary ones. As you've already demonstrated
in
your beautiful piece of poetry, it can happen very easily. And one of the people on the board has already dealt with that herself or himself. I'm not very sure. Sorry. So I understand sometimes things can get to you. Sometimes things scare me too. Not often, sometimes.
Yes.
There's
that notion of we kill what we love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy named Ram Dass who's a guru, a master, a Zen kind of guy, and he talked about how in order to find that place of bliss, a lot of times we will pin it on another person instead of the all or whatever, the creator, et cetera. But we'll assign the power of oneness to a person, and that whole rap was really fascinating to me, because it's you know, about love, your singular love of one person, as if this is, you know, the whole meaning in life and the world is to find that one person. But at the same time, you know, the bigger picture of love for all. And not, you know, pinning it to one person, because then one person is going to screw up, and so then what happens? Do you fall out of love with them? No. None of us are perfect.
No, they're not. And that quote I had that came from Oscar Wilde: "Yet each man kills what he loves."
Hmm.
Yep.
All right, Pam. Where are we going next?
All right.
Thank you for
You're very welcome, Rusty.
Well, up next we have In Love with the Sound of Their Own Voices by Linda Evans. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
In Love with the Sound of Their Own Voices by Linda Evans. Dull people hang out together, I've noticed. Just as well, really, because interesting people usually give them a wide berth. Nodding hello from afar, sensibly skirting round them in the pub on their way to and back from the bar. Inevitably, dullards invariably lead mundane lives, speaking monotones monotonously, rarely, if ever, appearing animated, seemingly more dead than alive. And poem. Another one. Pam, why'd you kick it off?
Oh, I liked this one. I liked this one. And there is so much truth in this humor, you know, because dull people do like to hang out together because, you know what, they like to pat each other on the shoulders. They like to pat each other on the ass. I mean, you know, they're basically each other's cheer squad. And, you know, I like how she gives the idea that, you know what, if you're smart, you'll stay away from them. This is quite clever all the way through. But I really love her word choice when she chose to use the word dollards. I did like nodding hello from afar, sensibly skirting around them in the pub on their way to and back from the bar. Inevitably, dollards invariably lead mundane lives, speaking monotones monotoniously, rarely if ever appearing animated, seemingly more dead than alive. You know, so this really is about the kind of people who just, not only from the title, love the sound of their own voices, but just don't really care to live life. You know, it makes me think of that quote, and I might be some slightly paraphrasing, but the one that says, you know, something along the lines of, you know, the different kinds of conversations, like dull people basically talk about other people and smart people talk about ideas. And that's what it makes me think of, is these are the group of people that just sit around gossiping about other people rather than discussing a free will of ideas. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Kate, this kind of walks along your tone with the e-vamp thing. What do you think?
Yes. This is, definitely. But this is them doing it to each other, which I think, good on you. Keep to yourself. We really would rather you hang about in your own little group. But my least favorite person to speak to face-to-face is that person who you can see is formulating what they want to say whilst you are talking to them. So they're not listening to you. They are preparing what they're going to say the minute you stop speaking, and it's usually pretty dull. So, yeah, I understand exactly what was meant here by Linda. It can be, quite unbearably mundane, and it does. You don't want to be speaking to somebody who's got that monotone voice, because that is just, there is no up or down, there is no sharp or soft, there is no light or dark. It's just, well, hello, I'm doing okay, thanks. How's yourself? That kind of voice.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kate. And Rusty, how about you?
Yeah, I just, so many times in life, I've found myself in a school, usually elementary school, high school, a lot of times, with this substitute teacher syndrome. Everybody is quiet and you go in and say, hey, guess what? I just got it, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to shoot it down because they don't want anybody to leave their ranks and make them look bad. I don't have anything positive to say about that crowd except, yeah, get away from me. Give them a wide berth because they're the yang of the yin-yang thing. I guess we have to have them, but, you know, only for contrast.
Oh, I like that. For contrast, yes. that and the puns that come along. Hey, you're not funny, but we can make fun of that. No problem. I like that. Nice, Rusty. Thank you very much.
There is beauty in ugliness.
Oh, absolutely. You can't. Well, you can't have beauty without ugly. So, in order to paint both sides of the equation, you got to have both sides of the sword. Yeah, it might suck, but you know what? It does prove the point. Hey, you got plenty to fill your plate with because there's much to be offered on that plate to begin with.
And then synchronicity comes in too, doesn't it? When things are going great, everything just seems to fall in line, and wow, it's all like one of those cartoons with flowers popping out and clouds clearing away. But when it's bad, it's just all bad. And there are parts of New Hampshire where, you know, it just is a gray. There's no color anywhere at certain times of the year. And you go to get gas or go in the store or whatever, and you look around and everybody's just, their eyes are cutting from left to right, and they're muttering under their breath. And
well,
give them a wide berth.
I've been in New Hampshire. My parents lived in Windsor, Vermont, for a little while, and I always loved the coloring up there during fall and the covered bridges. Great things to go to. Love them.
Oh, nice.
Definitely beautiful.
But the one thing I did hate up there, oh, my God. You talk about, they call them deer flies up there. Damn things are huge. And boy, miserable little buggers.
Yeah.
Oh, big buggers. But miserable little things. Because when they landed, they took a chunk out of you when they left. Painful.
Right on your sweaty neck.
Yes.
we have another one here, too. All right. Well, up next I put Good for Nothing by Julie Buck. And I was going to have me or Kate read this, but then I remembered it's supposed to be read in a guy's voice. So, Rex, I'm going to have you read again.
All right. Good for Nothing by Julie Buck. And she took He Who Is Good at Excuses is Generally Good for Nothing Else. I need to make excuses as to why I do nothing. Otherwise, how else could I ever make you feel this damn good about your proudly purposeful person? Dedicated, committed, reliable, fuck all that. I'm living large in my mobile home, never quite fit for public consumption. I don't need to justify my reasons. I know I am worthy. Off to hell with your assumptions. Much like one feels almost narcissistically important, relaying how busy they've been. I'm very prideful in keeping my excuse-making low brow, yet sharp and honed to a razor-fine point. My mind is always thinking through, thinking though, I'm not always doing. I fully maintain that my value is vast, and I'm particularly good at saying, kiss my juicy ass and suck my dick with your overly busy lips in a strong and steady bellow. See how good I am at other things? Now fuck off, Mary Poppins. You're harshing my mellow. And poem. that was well played, Julie. I like that. All right, Pam. Since you made me read it, you get first comment.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I had to make you read it. I didn't want to be I didn't know how the new guy would be feel about being thrown into the fire head first. So
I love
yep.
it. So many voices.
All right,
you could
well.
Do that with so many. You could do that with a woman's voice. You could do it with an old man's voice. It's just wide open.
It really is. It really is. But I felt like it called for a man's voice. But, yes, it is wide open. And next time I might throw you into the fire there. So just so you know. But great read, Rex.
Please do.
All right. great read, Rex. And, I love the attitude in this, the whole, like, two middle fingers up in the air, fuck you attitude, you know. And, I really like how it speaks on your proudly purposeful person. That first stanza, I need to make excuses as to why I do nothing. Otherwise, how else could I ever make you feel this damn good about your proudly purposeful person? And it's funny because that actually goes back to me to the comment made earlier about how the only thing that, dull people are good at is for creating balance. So here's this sarcasm, this bite that says, well, gee, how am I supposed to make you look good if I don't look so fucking awful? And of course the attitude in that, and especially the mention of Mary Poppins. You know, honest to goodness, there are some people in this world I would love to say, fuck off Mary Poppins to. Julie does so great at really not holding back, just with the punches, the verbal, bite to it. And the whole idea of, I may have an attitude, but you know what? That's who I am. And that's who I'm always going to be. And stop trying to make me into this perfect person that you are trying to look like. Because we all know there's no such thing as perfection. So wonderful, right? And very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Kate, how about you?
Well, I love this. Of course I would. It's fabulous. But look at that face. look at Julie's face. She looks so innocent. I mean, good heavens. It's just fabulous, the way she throws herself into this kind of rite. It was just, I loved it. I really did. So clever. And I do. I love the shock element of that last stanza. I do. It's just so good. I love, you're harshing my mellow. That is just a wonder. I'm sure it's, I kind of remember it from somewhere, but I think it's just wonderful. You're harshing my mellow. It's a very 1960s thing, isn't it?
Yep.
Definitely. Wonderful. So thank you so much, Julie. I really enjoyed this. Very clever.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. Rusty, how about you?
I'm just, as an actor, I keep thinking of it in with different people saying it. I mean, think of it as an old woman saying this, you know? Like, it would just be so, it's so out of character. Or it could be a drag queen that's doing this, you know, while he's doing his nails and he's just going off. Or, you know, or it could be it'd be fun to really press it to extremes because it's so sharp. I love it.
Yes, it is. And you're right. This isn't just a note to a single voice. This walks in many voices because that harshing my mellow does bring back that note to the 60s as well as fuck off Mary Poppins. Very 60s with that. She opens up. I need to make excuses as to why I do nothing. Otherwise, how else could I ever make you feel this damn good about your proudly purposeful person? Now, that offers up the note to not someone unintelligent, but someone who's offering up a sarcastic snarkiness because they're being delivered unto sarcasm themselves.
Exactly.
Now, the second one, fuck all that. I'm living large. My mobile home never quite fit for public consumption. Now she's jumped into the TPT, the trailer park trash angle. And then that next stanza offers up again that thought to creativity, much like one feels almost narcissistically important, relaying how busy they've been. I'm prideful in keeping my excuse-making lowbrow. Again, that thought to, while offering up narcissistically important relay by keeping it lowbrow. And the simple being the lowbrow angle is the curse, which she popped in just the right point. My excuse-making lowbrow, yet sharp and honed to a razor fine point. My mind is always thinking, though, I'm not always doing. But the idea is, hey, I don't have to be as busy as your sorry ass. I know what I'm doing and my work, so bugger off. And then I fully maintain that my value is vast, and I'm particularly good at saying, kiss my juicy ass and suck my dick with your overly busy lips in a strong, steady bellow. So offering up again that low brow angle, even though the continuity is not striking on one level, it walks on many layered levels as to, hey, you might talk to people like that, but you come down this way, you're going to get a whole load of mash that you ain't ready for. And that might come from low angle. That might come from a creatively stylistic voice and verbiage. And it also might say, hey, Mary Poppins, go fuck off.
But definitely written to be read out loud. And you're right. The thing I love, too, is that when he says, in a steady voice, strong and steady bellow, that comes at the end, and then you replay it in your head. Oh yeah, that has to be boom, 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 boom. You know, it's that would be even more hilarious. An old woman saying that, or you know, whatever, in a bellow.
Yes, it is. It's meant to slap that sanctimonious shithead in the face with voice that she's not accustomed to, yet she's being delivered with language that she does understand on both levels. Well done, Julie.
Yeah, that's how I like that.
All right, Pam, we got time for one more?
Yes, time for one more, and the rest will be carried over. We'll split them between Friday's Break On Through show and next week after midnight if need be. And our last poem for the night is I Own the World by Betty Page. And Kate, Would you give that a read for us, please?
I would love to. So this is I Own the World. I own the world. You live in your fancy homes. I walk down these streets unknown to the beat of metronomes. My mind has escaped. It's flown. You own what's inside your house. Well, I own everything else. Pleasure meeting you, my spouse, in my head sings wedding bells. Oh, how grand for sure it be. I'll sing Nobody Loves Me. Turn around, make me happy. Let's live where we both are free. Escape swift in deep blue seas, luminous sweet memories. Kiss at midnight neath the palm trees. Cruise streets, two ghosts fade in breeze. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I like the message in this one, and that was a great read, Kate. I really like how this speaks on the idea of people who think they're rich really truly aren't. You know, people who own all this fancy stuff in this house don't have the richness and freedom of somebody who just really appreciates life, who walks the streets, who listens to music, and just enjoys the beauty of and the adventure of life. And I really like this all the way through, but I especially like you live in your fancy homes. I walk down these streets unknown to the beats of metronomes. My mind has escaped. It's flown. You own what's inside your house. Well, I own everything else. You know, that idea of, you know, just really being a free spirit. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Rusty, how about you?
I really enjoyed it very much. I like the vowel sounds of it. I love the fact that she owns everything else. That's about it.
Thank you, Rusty. Kate?
Yes, this was wonderful, as usual, from our Betty Page. I own the world. It's true. If you're not tied down to specifics, not tied down to owning things, and you just walk to your own beat and enjoy it, that's an awful lot better, I think. Because, all right, we all love our homes and everything else, but if you are truly free and you're not tied down, you can go. You can just move. You go where you want. Go with the seasons and just move. I love that last two lines. Kiss at midnight neath palm trees, cruise streets, two ghosts fade in breeze. Lovely. I like that. I like that. So thank you, Betty, very much. I enjoyed reading this.
Well, there you go. You hit the right flavor and tone with that. I like the – she went with – I know it's a little offset and it's near, but she went with mono rhyme for each singular stanza to offer up. Each stanza can walk by itself without need for the others, but they fit well together because of how she's laid it out. Yes, there is that idea of being locked and loaded into, but I don't have that that need and notion because it is good to be footloose and fancy free, as she offers up here. And that last stanza kind of walks in that note to Morrison's, let's go for that moonlight drive, except here it's cruise streets, two ghosts fade in breeze. The idea of moving into the next place, the next hour, even the next century, so to speak, the ease of just gliding through to the next angle of life or the next beauty to be seen. Well done, Betty. All right. We're at the back end. Great show, Pam. Thank you very much. Katie, thank you for coming on board. And Rusty, glad you came on the read, too, and hope you come back for some more and check us out, Late Night Poets, and hope you join us because you'll see everything we've got hanging on the board, all the contests, the shows, and everything else. So you'll get to see because we do walk. We've got The Art of Seduction on Wednesdays. We've got Twisted Notions on Tuesdays, so Twisted Tuesdays. We do music on Sunday. Saturdays, we got split between Bad Company and Exploring Ekphrasia. Friday is Open Poetry Night. Thursday is In Our Craft of Sullen Art and and Double Helix, split every other week, plus Monday's Nature and Passion with Lulu. So we got a lot going on that you might find yourself a nice load of information to play with, as well as contests and ideas.
Fantastic. I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm so excited from all this.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everybody. Great night. Wonderful show. And thank you for Sidewinder Silence, Rozzy, and Harco for the board. Much appreciated, guys. And we'll see you all again next Tuesday for After Midnight. Everyone, have a good evening.
Good night, everyone. Well, good morning, everyone.